You can ask. You can always ask. This is the Taylor Report. CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Conlon. How you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
Phil's program is Classical Undergrounds, Wednesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. And today we're going to talk to Eve Engler, very important, Canada's best muckraking journalist. And by the way, happily, we have real competition in that department. But Eve has really written a number of very important books and has done great work. And we want to talk to him about this latest thing with Canada's involvement in supporting right-wing governments in South America and calling it our values. Second half of the show, we're going to talk to the author of a very important new book on American history, Danny Haifong. And Danny Haifong is just actually appeared at the Left Forum in New York. You can find his speech there. I noticed that Ann Garrison's Twitter. And I believe Danny is with us. Oh, pardon me, not Danny. We're starting with Eve Engler. Danny will come up later. Eve Engler, are you there?
How's it going, Phil?
Very good. We're good to hear from you. Thank you for talking to us on Canada's Day. We thought it was important. We better check in with you because you're interested in real history as opposed to mythology. And you've been taking up an issue which we can't get any of our politicians to address. That is the government's involvement, support for the people who made the coup in Honduras. Talk about that. You've added an expression. Everybody is familiar with the term ugly American, and you made us that a slash and ugly Canadian. Oh, in what way are we the ugly Canadians in Honduras?
Well, we just came up to the 10th anniversary of the overthrow of a very, very mild social democratic president, Manuel Zelaya. That country is still feeling the economic and political after effects of this coup of 10 years ago. Canada was, waited till every other country in the hemisphere criticized the coup before doing so, never called for Zelaya being returned after the military had overthrown him, didn't sever any or even announce cutting off of any aid, continued to have Honduran military, a small number of Honduran military trained in Canada by the Canadian military, all kinds of diplomatic comments that basically justified the overthrow of the government. When Zelaya tried to return, Canada said, don't do that, it's going to cause tension, stuff like that. Since that time, they've signed a free trade agreement with the government that came in a very dubious elections after the coup, and has just sort of continued business as usual. And now they've joined; they have the totally illegitimate Honduran government as part of their coalition to overthrow the government in Venezuela.
That's reciprocity. We're speaking to Eve Engler. It's eveengler.com. And, when Justin Trudeau was running, and everybody, and I forget who was going to be his foreign minister, rather pleasant guy, but he's long gone. But we were told, well, these kinds of mistakes, the heavy-handedness, the embrace of dictators, that was Stephen Harper. So how different is the Justin Trudeau approach to Honduras from Harper?
It hasn't changed. I mean,
it hasn't changed.
Business as usual. The whole rhetoric about Canada's back and all that stuff was obviously just a bunch of rhetoric, and support for a Orlando Hernandez's government that broke the Honduran constitution by running a second time, and then when 60% of the votes were counted and the opposition figure was leading, all of a sudden the counting stopped. And then when the counting started up again, lo and behold, the Hernandez is in the lead, and Canada has just sort of continued. I mean, this is even the Organization of American States, which is, you know, very right-wing body, has, you know, found that this was dubious, didn't change Ottawa's position, and they brought in Honduran officials to meet about the effort to bring to return, in their mind, the constitutional order in Venezuela. The Honduras is part of the so-called Lima group that's supposedly trying to bring constitutional rule in Venezuela. This is a government that has just, you know, totally defied Honduras' constitution.
Yeah, I'm very glad you raised that, because if you were to listen to Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland, we went over the Venezuelan constitution very carefully, and that's how we could determine in Ottawa that the current president, who was elected by a popular majority, wasn't properly in office, and that this unknown character named Guaido, it could therefore constitutionally challenge and even call himself president, and Canada, being, after all, a rule of law country, respecting constitution, noted that the constitution of Venezuela permitted such a step, and therefore we were prepared to starve Venezuelans until they agree with us. Meanwhile, in Honduras, you talk about the constitution. The constitution did not allow for any of the things that happened to President Zelaya, right?
No, for sure. No. The basis for the claim for overthrowing Zelaya was that he was supposed to be planning on trying to run again. In fact, what he had done is...
He was thinking of running. That's the crime of thought.
Yeah. Well, he put forward a proposal to bring it to the public, to bring up the idea of having a vote on whether there should be the Constitution should be reopened, and this was a constitution signed by a military government in the 80s, very regressive constitution. And just the idea of having a non-binding poll on this question was the basis they used to overthrow Zelaya, and Canadian officials went along with this charade. Now, 10 years later, or not quite 10 years, 6 years later, when Juan Orlando Hernandez wants to run the second time and gets the Supreme Court to clearly defy the Constitution and allow this, there's no criticism, and then again, when he voting count, when he's losing in the votes and it goes out, there's no criticism from Canadian officials. So the constitutional question is a joke. It's also, so in the case of Honduras, the other one, I think, is a clear example of that right now with Haiti. You have these massive protests. You just have a report that shows that the president of Haiti's companies got at least $2 million in fake contracts. They stole $2 million as part of a broader $2 billion that were stolen of public money by the Canadian-backed government, previous government. And now you have Jovenel Moïse, who's the predecessor of Sweet Mickey, and you have just massive protests that continued, returned in the last few weeks because this report came out further confirming the scope of the corruption. And you have the Canadian government, you know, fully behind this. You know, government in Haiti has basically no popular support. You know, its electoral legitimacy is paper thin, but in the case of, you have no criticism. You have Canada actually supporting it, Canadian police there. You have Canadian ambassador justifying the government versus in Venezuela. And it just, you know, this across the board, certainly in this hemisphere, there are many examples, but across the board globally, the Canadian government backs governments that are compliant in the face of Washington's perspective and in the face of Canadian corporations' perspective. And this, you know, 10 years after in Honduras that we're seeing, this is a Canada backing a pro-neoliberal regime, and you have Canadian companies like Gildan and Goldcorp that have been some of the primary beneficiaries of the overthrow of democracy in Honduras 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that interest. Goldcorp, their opinions were known, right? I mean, Goldcorp thought it would be a good idea to get rid of Mr. Zelaya because he had promised an increase in wages across the board in Honduras.
And
that was a material foundation to get rid of a tyrant.
Yeah, no, exactly. And he had put in some very mild, again, these are all really mild reforms, but around mining concessions and not just going along with completely opening up Honduras to foreign mining companies. And in fact, Rights Action found that Goldcorp's subsidiary in Honduras, after the coup, was paying people and busing people in to Tegucigalpa to protest in favor of the coup. So we're not just talking like, you know, abstract support for the coup. We're talking about, you know, busing people and paying them to go demonstrate in favor of military overthrow of the government. So, you know, corporate Canada's hands are you know, were very clearly on the side of overthrowing democracy mm-hmm. in Honduras.
Yeah. This is Eve Engler, eveengler.com. And there's a lot of wonderful articles at that site. Eve, you've identified somebody as Canada's Elliot Abrams. You were talking about the role of big capital, the gold corp, etc. But this former civil servant takes off his, you know, stops being the mild-mannered Clark Kent and suddenly becomes Captain Canada. And they've hired him. It's like you describe him as a hired gun. Who is he? What's his little job?
Yeah, I mean, this was a pretty incredible one to discover this. So basically, the Canadian government put out a contract, $200,000 contract, for a special advisor on Venezuela. Put it on its site that lists the different contracts that the Canadian government puts.
You could have applied, right?
I could have replied. Some people on Facebook suggested I do so. I don't.
They
know
turned down Eve Engler and decided to go with a cutthroat. How strange!
And so what they, what they list for pretty openly is somebody to coordinate their campaign to overthrow the Venezuelan government. And they talk about the need for.
Well, we're not going to need WikiLeaks anymore. They're just telling us.
They're doing it. It's brazen. It's just open, brazen stuff. And. So one of the quotes is, use your network of contacts to advocate for expanded support to pressure the illegitimate government to return constitutional order. so this, the person is supposed to have contacts on the ground in Venezuela that are, you know, helping get rid of the Maduro government. And so basically this guy, Alan Cullum, has been in this position since the fall of 2017. And he's been this is a third contract they've put out for this. And he's been coordinating this campaign, and I did a piece that looked in some of this guy's background. He was Canada's former ambassador in Venezuela in 2002 to 2004, then he was ambassador in Guatemala, then he was later on ambassador in Canada, the Organization of American States. And then he, after retiring, and during his time as ambassador in Venezuela and elsewhere, it was already clear he was, you know, pushing, he was already very anti-Chavez back in 2002, but after he leaves office, he starts talking sort of more openly in public, and he was just hostile, openly hostile to all of the social democratic or socialist governments in the hemisphere. He talks about how, you know, aligned, he's friends with Leopoldo Lopez, who's the main extreme hardline opposition in Venezuela, and became buddies with them when Leopoldo Lopez was the mayor of the municipality that where the Canadian embassy in Caracas is. And,
yeah, he was already a talent scout for coup makers, right?
Exactly. This is clearly what...
He calls Canadian Lopez a friend.
He calls him a friend. He says that the CELAC, the body to sort of bring all the hemisphere together except for Canada and the U.S., that this was, you know, a terrible body and it should be basically destroyed. In a number of comments, he said as much. Criticizes the government, the Kirchner government in Argentina, justifies getting rid of Rousseff in Brazil, Lugo in Paraguay, the sort of parliamentary coup in Paraguay, aligned with the coup, of course, in Honduras, on and on and on. And mm-hmm. this is the guy who's leading the charge that we're paying. Canadian taxpayers are paying $200,000 over the next 11 months to mm-hmm. coordinate Canada's campaign to get rid of the Maduro government.
Wouldn't you like to read his reports at the end of the 11 months? I assume he's going to want a renewal. They're going to say, well, you didn't finish the job, so what are you going to do for us next?
Well, the one positive, I think, all those who are, you know, opposed to imperialism should get out of it, is the previous contracts were for 6 months. So I think the bringing this contract up to 11 months is sort of an admission that their little campaign hasn't been quite as successful as they thought it might be. And now they're seeing it's going to have to take a little longer than they hoped or expected.
This may take a little while, yeah.
So, but you know, this is the Trump administration, maybe, I guess, 6 months ago or so, hired Elliot Abrams as their special advisor on Venezuela. And there's been a certain amount of discussion about him. Obviously, he has a terrible background in the hemisphere. But this is kind of Canada's Elliot Abrams. And in my piece, I mentioned, you know, there's got to be somebody in the House of Commons that's willing to ask a question about him and this contract. I mean, even just from the standpoint of, like, you know, mm-hmm. taxpayer, you know.
Yeah, save some pennies, yes.
Yeah, should we? And it was also even a question of, like, privatization of you know, diplomatic corps, even that kind of question, you know. But
yes.
I have nothing. There's nobody in NDP, nobody in the Green Party that seems to be willing to even, you know, raise this question, which I think tells us
yes.
a whole lot about Canadian democracy, and maybe we should be a bit more worried about Canadian democracy than
well, we'd have to create
democracy.
It, wouldn't we?
I mean, exactly.
What you're describing is a parliament full of crickets. That's really a sad story. But well, listen, fortunately, we have Eve Engler, eveengler.com. Please stay on this story. It's great reading, I must tell you. And I was so glad that you introduced your piece about Honduras, citing O. Henry, reminding everybody that he's the one who created the term Banana Republic. And then the government went about, you know, doing it, but he had the phrase. Eve, thanks very, very much.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, talk. Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT. We're on SoundCloud, and the Taylor-Report on SoundCloud, I think. And we're the Taylor Report on Facebook. We go under many names. We're also looking for closure. I want to remind you, we're going to be talking at the halfway point with Danny Haifong, and he has a new book. You could look it up, American Exceptionalism and American Innocence. The two are intimately linked.